Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It is August 21st, 2021, and this is The Astrologer and the Alchemist. I'm The Astrologer. I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side waiting for the storm Henri to arrive tomorrow, and I'm joined by my friend Jemaja. Jemaja, you out there?
I'm out here. I'm over here in the Upper West Side, known as Harlem, and same thing. Anne's on the East Side, so she has the East River, and I have the Hudson. So we're hoping that everyone stays in their lane, because this storm will hit us over. Hit us. It actually is going to. The cone is showing that it will definitely touch us. In Manhattan. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine out on Long Island, and she's like, do you think I'll be evacuated? And her house is right on the beach. I'm like, well, they're saying it's storm surge, 5 feet, and then it's also a full moon. So that'll make the tides higher. So
absolutely.
We'll see what happens. And we haven't had a nice hurricane since Sandy. So And that one was really mean. This one's not going to be that big a number. It's only going to be like a 1, they said, instead of
one. Exactly.
Hurricane Sandy was like a 3, I think.
It was? I was wondering. Okay, Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, she was a big one. She was a big girl. But Henri, he is very French. He's not going to cause a lot of problem, just a little. No electricity for a week.
Yeah,
they're warning you could be out of electricity for a week. I'm like, okay, well, that's not fun. So.
That's living close to the beach is a little challenging there,
Yeah.
So, let's see. Yeah. So, we've had a lot, and I know we have a full moon on Sunday. Oh, yeah, full moon in Aquarius, and high tide is also at night, so we have to watch that. And for those who are out in the water, be careful. I mean, batten down the hatches. If you're going to the beach, anywhere on the East Coast, whatever, just be careful, because right now they say the riptides are really ripping.
Ripping, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're precursor. There's a storm coming. Here come the riptides,
I
had a friend who got caught in one, interestingly, when we were on Fire Island. We summered on Fire Island, and so she was always really anxious when the current would be strong. They're not fun.
Yeah.
And what my boss's son drowned in one, so they're not anything to fool around with.
And you're in a station retrograde on Wednesday. So
yes.
How many do we have? How many outer planets do we have retrograde?
Everybody.
Quite a few, right? Everybody.
All of them are backwards right now. So if we look at the heavens, so the retrogrades happen when all the planets are opposite the sun, right? That's from when, say the sun's in an earth sign, when the sun gets to the companion earth sign, it goes retrograde, and then when it gets to the other earth sign, it goes direct. So like Uranus is in Taurus, which is an earth sign, so it went retrograde this week because we're going into Virgo time, right? So that's the premise of retrogrades. They're opposite the sun. And some people have them in their chart and some people don't. It depends on how your chart is built. But right now in the sky, Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter, Neptune, Athena, Chiron, Eris, and Uranus are all retrograde.
Wow.
And that's all, the whole outer planet gang is retrograde. The only thing that are direct is the Sun, Mars, Mercury, and Venus, and the Moon, of course. Sun and Moon never go retrograde. But the personal planets are direct, and everybody else is going backwards.
Okay.
So what that means is we're in high revision mode. We're revising things. We're changing our life. So right before I came on, I like looking at people's houses. When we were kids, my parents, we would go around on Sundays after church and go visit model houses. That was one of the things they liked to do. And so I love looking at people's houses. So I just came on and pulled up my Yahoo, and last week Nate Berkus and his partner sold their beautiful townhouse downtown in New York. And today Neil Patrick Harris and his partner are selling their townhouse up in Harlem. So I'm like, oh, what a pretty house, So revising our direction, figuring out where we're going, changing it up. And we did see, when a planet like Uranus stops, we see it the 5 days before and the 5 days after. So that, of course, was the fall of Afghanistan, plus a lot of people having major changes in the structure of their life this last week, whether they were leaving jobs or going off to school or starting new careers or quitting their jobs or whatever, because Uranus is the last of the outer planets to station. He'll be retrograde until January, and the rest of them are all retrograde until the end of September. So we're really in heavy revision mode right now. For another month, another month and a half, and then all those outer planets start to go forward full steam ahead and say, okay, let's roll. So it's a big, big couple weeks of change, because we're looking at the, you know, Uranus got as far as he's going to go for the time being, and he's saying, okay, I can't grow any further until you finish moving this other thing out. So if you think about, like, remodeling your house, because we're all remodeling our lives, Uranus is saying, I can't go forward anymore. You guys have to change this stuff up for me to be able to do it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're renovating and you go, okay, we have to put the electric in before we can put the walls up, which means we have to have the electrical inspector come. And I'm saying electric because Uranus is electric. So we can't put the walls up and finish the rest of the house until the inspection of the wires is done. So that's kind of what you're doing. You're inspecting your wiring right now and coming up with a new way of thinking about, you know, like, okay, what's the wiring I need to have? Interestingly, I had lunch with a friend of mine this week, and we were talking about her building, and it's an older building, and she said, well, I had to spend $12,000 to get my wiring redone. I'm like, really? She goes, well, it had to come up from the basement to my apartment on the 16th floor. And I went, oh, well, so you don't just have the wiring in your house done, you have the wiring in the basement too? Yes, and so now we're going to have Hurricane Henri knock out all the wiring on Long Island. It's very much a rewire yourself. So I'm going to shut up now, Gemma Jaw, and comment, talk. Tell me what's going on in your world.
Well, you know,
or your perception of the world.
Well, you know, I think because we're actually in the air element now, so that's something that we have to remember, that we've left the earth element and we're in air. So that also requires, like I said, a rewiring. It does challenge our grounding and centeredness with things, because it's a different mode of operating. So I right now, and you mentioned reviewing and the changes and everything that's going on. I think we saw some of the initial changes that happened with the big change that we had in December or January 2020, and we had the Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto, and all that having their dance. But, and that was, and we saw that with a pandemic, but everyone thought it was a new or temporary normal. It's not. And that's the way we talk ourselves into, getting through it. Like, oh, this won't last forever. Mm-hmm. And no, the suddenness, the erratic part of it, that, when it first happened, we're all like, what? And that won't last forever. But now we're realizing that in order for us to operate and live at a different frequency, it will require sustained changes. So we had some of the changes we made were made just temporary fixes, things just to get us over and get us through and help us maintain some mental stability. And now, as we're seeing now in the workplaces, people are saying, well, let's see how we're going to do this now. Are we going to have hybrid working arrangements where we can work from home and at the office and more permanent, So some of the stuff, We've come from a place with, I can see that with the earth element that we were in, where things stayed that way. You and I were that generation, and things stayed a certain way for a long period of time. So, and we were used to that, and we took that for, that was some of our stability, our bedrock. And
that's what we took for granted,
Took for granted, yeah. And whether it was good or bad, we took it for granted. We knew it was there, So now that this is not the way, in this new elemental that we're operating under, and the fact that we're in this, we're setting up or queuing up for our first pseudo return, by golly, we're going to have so much change coming at us from all levels that it will be a challenge for us to manage. And this is where I have to say to everyone to really take care of your mind, because there's so much for us to try to grasp and sift through, thought through, and then do at the same time. Taking time off, I tell people I go in my healing cave, I'll take my breaks from social media, from so much gabbing, so much doing and talking and just being and writing and reading, and that's to restore my battery. actually, you know.
And that's what say it again? What was that last part?
To restore my internal battery.
Yes, internal battery. Okay, yep. You dropped off a little there on the phone. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I'm hearing that from, I'm hearing that from people, from clients, but also I'm hearing about time. In other words, people are having a challenge with the concept of time. And I don't mean being late for meetings. I mean it feels like time is one moment speeding up, next minute sort of standstill. I feel as if it's just morphing around us, if you will, as we go through this. It's not the timeline. It's not a timeline anymore. It's not a line. Never was a line, but definitely is not a line anymore. And I think that's also messing with our sense of stability.
Right.
So, yeah. But, you know, then, of course, you know, the Delta variant. You mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were talking on the phone the other day, and there's a Delta variant. There's a Delta Plus variant. There's, you know, other stuff teeing up to make sure, you know, it's letting us know that everything, including the virus, is changing. And will, you know, encourage us to eventually arrive at a place that will be better than we left, the place that we left. We can't see it now, perhaps.
Right.
You know, I don't think anybody can see it. But it's a coming in. It's a coming in. We just gotta, you know, there's an old gospel song, with the roll of the boat ashore, hallelujah. I think we're still trying to row the boat. We're in the high seas right now, so we're not seeing land. Yeah, actually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone said they wrote. Someone wrote us. I woke up thinking of Christmas. I mean, yeah, it's just I'm having a challenge grasping thing. I'm really having a challenge grasping time, and you know, if I do something 1 minute, I don't remember if I actually did it, or did I write it on my to do list, or was that an actual thing? And I said, okay, that's just like you said, it's the rewiring. The rewiring. Usually there are blips when you're rewired. You know, with the computers, you know, like you said, the wiring of a home, you'll have some, you know, some things won't be smooth at first. So, yeah. So how's your vacation been?
My vacation has been great. I've had a really fun time. You know, I haven't never taken, you know, I've worked since I was like, well, 12, 13, babysitting, but I've never taken like a month off. And I mean, I didn't, it wasn't 100% off, like I did a little bit of stuff, but I read a client the other day. I said, you know, I haven't read a client in like 3 weeks, you know, and it's been interesting. It's interesting to be unhooked. You know, I'm always hooked on, you know, and I have obviously,
right.
you know, still been paying attention to the world, but I was trying to make it as minimal of a technological vacation as possible, you know, like
Very
trying
good.
To do more book reading and, you know, just hanging out and not thinking about stuff. I mean, I did a lot of thinking, but I didn't do any stuff. So it's interesting because it gives it gives a different feeling, you know, for, you know, world when you're not, like, so into it. And I think I liked it so much I scheduled next year off, too. I scheduled a month off next year. I blocked out August. Yeah. I thought, you know, this was really fun. I had a really good time doing this, so I think I'm going to do it again, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good.
Important.
But, yeah, it's definitely one of those where you're kind of you know, when you aren't hooked in and kind of going, I do have a little trouble remembering what day it is because my days, you know, I get in the calendar, I print it out and I'm regimented. So I haven't had that for a month now.
Yeah. And that's good.
Like
I
today, you're
the
only thing I have to do today. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I have to go buy some pita bread, you know, and
I
looked up a recipe for, I have eggplant and mushrooms and I thought, maybe, and there was an eggplant mushroom curry recipe, so I think I'm going to make that for dinner tonight, you know.
Okay.
Roast some vegetables. But, it's
but
been,
you know,
fun. It's been very unhooked.
You mentioned about being unhooked is good, because it gives the soul a chance to, you know, to be heard and to be active. We are so hooked, overhooked, if you will, too plugged in all the time that I think that, you know, we've lost our way because we assumed or chased something that wasn't real for so long that it's, and we're seeing it now when it's becoming undone. We're seeing all our systems, institutions, we're seeing them for what they are. Yes, they support us, but they're no longer, the center is no longer holding in most of them. And and but we've been so hooked into them that we were actually holding them together, too, in place.
Yes.
So right now, as we see these systems come down and, you know, the like the whole the situation with war, maybe we'll hopefully one day understand that the who war actually benefits, typically not the people you're trying to save, so-called save, it's typically it's benefiting those who are trying to either get resources or some kind of into a place. And that really hasn't solved much. I'm not saying that you know there shouldn't be a conflict. Conflict doesn't have to have an actual conflict, but not 20 years of conflict. I mean, certain things we just need to, you know. There was a benefit there, okay, that was happening for people, and maybe not the, the citizens of Afghanistan for sure, and definitely the women and children there, but it, it was benefiting those who, you know, were, who perhaps started the campaign or whatever. And this is just other camp, not just, I'm just, yes, that's Afghanistan. We've had Iraq. We've had so many. So it's just, that's part of our growing up, too, to see, and our learning to see, okay, is this sustainable? It's not, you know.
Right.
And to
we spent a lot of money there, you know. That is, that went into government contracts, that went into the, you know, into the country, which is fine, but it's also part of our, we have a lot of people that are hungry here in the United States, and, you know, that money can be spent other places, it restructures, and of course we know the Saturn-Uranus square, we're really restructuring and reorganizing. You know, way back in the 70s, I worked at Control Data. One of my clients was USAID, which is a government agency that goes and aids other countries. And one of the group I was working with, the Vector Biology and Control Project, which tracked diseases around the world and malaria and stuff like that. And we built the largest malaria database that ever, you know, because this is when computers were just coming in, right? So there were all these scavenger articles of malaria, and so we built a database that everybody around the world could access, you know, about malaria research and malaria outbreaks and stuff. But I was down in D.C. working on it, and one of the guys came in at lunch, and he, and there was an Afghan restaurant near the place, so food was amazing, and we would go there, and he had spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, and he was talking about it, you know, from our perspective of the colonialism, because it was colonialized by the British Empire. And he said to me, and I never forgot it, he said, well, you know, when you see a country that's born drawn with straight lines, right, like straight lines, it's colonial, because usually what happens is countries are divided by the natural resources, you know, the mountains and the rivers and stuff like that, which when you look at the United States and you look at how crooked some of our states are, it's based because they're following a river or there's a mountain range or there's a something, right? So, but he was talking about it being such a tribal country, you know, and so trying to make a country that's very tribal, not tribal, you know, is, you know, it's cultural change over time, obviously, can happen.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the tribes are part of the nature of that country, you know, and we actually have kind of a weird thing in the United States. And obviously right now we're not getting along that well, but we really have very distinct tribes, you know, the tribe of Texas, the tribe of Florida, the tribe of West Virginia, you know, they, the tribe of New York, New York City, you know. And so one of the things that we got into this really interesting discussion about was, what's your tribe? Who's your tribe? And when you're in a square Saturn, Saturn's in Aquarius, the sound of the tribe, the sign of the tribe, the group, the collective, and Uranus is saying, change those tribes up, baby, because they're having a fight. And how many of us are feeling like our old tribe is changing, you know, where we used to hang out is shifting and changing, and now we're bringing in a new tribe, right?
And we're looking, and we're also looking at the tribal constructs that we've been involved in, too, and questioning those. We're really looking at those, you know, and many of us looking, like you mentioned, the New York tribe. Said, yeah, but then we had the micro tribe within those macro tribes. You know what I mean? So
yes,
so we have those, and I'm looking at those, and just sort of seeing, and I'm realizing how some of those ties were binding, and you know how I'm questioning. I'm not just doubting everything. I'm just sort of re-looking. I'm reviewing everything to see if they are still a keeper or not. Is it still valid? Or that song by Ashford and Simpson, is it still good to you? If it's not good to me still, then I need to sort of, you know, recognize it for what it is, bless and release it, you know. And this is it's a lot right now, Anne. I mean, it's not just we're looking at, you know, our governance system, we're doing that, we're looking at the military, we're looking at our way of worship or religious thing, education, finance. There is not a institution or a tribe that born of those institutions or created those or keeping those institutions going that we're not looking at, that we're not,
right.
Are not experiencing some stress also. They're experiencing, that saying resistance is futile. I think I resist a lot for things. When we resist, we say I want to change. Yeah, change is good, but then we resist change because we don't know perhaps what that change will mean to us and where we'll fit. So we sort of have like a mother whose child is learning how to float, and the swim instructor is saying, okay, let him go, the baby's doing okay, and mother has her foot underneath the baby to keep the baby afloat. So
right,
so you're
right.
Really letting go. You say, oh, I trust, but I'm just going to make sure this is happening. So, it takes the rest. So he mentioned about taking time off. However we could take time off, you know, maybe not even as a luxury like Anne has, but find some time to unplug or to be still or to be quiet or do your hobby, because that's when you can actually digest that and see in your life where that change is screaming for, you know, to be heard, or saying, can we just do a little bit of a change? Doesn't have to be drastic, you know. Someone wrote, everybody I know is shifting better or worse. Yeah, everyone's shifting. That's the verse.
Yep.
Shifting is happening. Mm-hmm. Shifting is definitely happening. And it's okay to realize that we may not know our destination. I think we have to actually learn how to be comfortable. I was talking to my friend Lenore the other day, and I said, this energy that we're in right now, and everyone has helped me to learn to release control, you know, because I realize now how much control I don't have over things, and to be present in the moment, and not planning for next year or next week or 5 years from now. I'm just present. I'm here now. Be here now. I'm more like be now. I'm just being now, and that's something I dare say I haven't done since I was probably born. You know, so hungry, food now, that kind of thing. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm an air sign, so, you know, my mind is always saying, how about tomorrow? What's next year? What I, you know, so for an air sign to say, okay, let's just be present and float around it's been something, been a journey.
Yeah. It's kind of wild because it really is,
it is wild.
Figuring out what our journey is, and I think that quietness, and it's been very, very bustly. You know, there's all the Virgo planets, all the planets when they're in the sign of Virgo, they're all like, okay, well, we have to do, you know, they kind of have this breathless, we have to do this thing, as opposed to, well, do you want to really do it? And you're kind of like, well, I have to. It's like, no, do you want to? You know, it's that sense of I have to do something or else, instead of what do I actually want to do? And I think that's the space, you know, and
that is the
kind of figuring out where the hole is in our lives, or where the hole's the wrong word, but where
the opening, or
where the stillness is, where the stillness is in our life.
Yes.
Stillness is the word I would want to use there. Yeah.
And to use and we're a culture. We come from a culture. Speaking for us, especially those of us in the United States, where stillness is not a thing. You know, we don't do too much stillness, you know. Maybe if you're sitting still in meditation, if you're sitting still in the church. But other than that, even when we're in line waiting at, you know, Whole Foods, we're not still. Our mind's on our phone. We're doing this. We don't really enter the stillness.
Right.
And give it and pay it proper attention and give it enough time. And it takes time. It takes a while to, you know, so Anne, you told me about that book, Cosmos and Psyche.
Yes, Cosmos and Psyche by Richard Tarnas, T-A-R-N-A-S.
Oh, I have it. I have it in front of me. And I
Isn't
love
it wonderful?
It's
I love this
wonderful.
Book, right.
So let me read a line out of it because I think it'd be helpful.
Yeah, totally. It's one of my favorite books. Let's just tell the audience who Cosmos and Psyche. Richard Tarnas is a professor. He's a doctor, and he went to Yale, and I think it was Yale, maybe Harvard, one of those blue Ivy class. And he wrote a book called The Evolution of the Western Mind, which was, you know, how thought changed over time, which was, you know, it's taught in colleges. And then he wrote this book, which is The Astrology of Change, you know, because he's an astrologer, right? So he wrote this book about, which was really kind of surprising to his colleagues in education, but he did the big astrological cycles and how they affected our growth over time and changed the world, you know. So so we know we've had all these big cycles starting this year, you know, the Saturn-Pluto and the Jupiter-Uranus and the Jupiter-Pluto. And now we're having the Saturn-Uranus square, which is a 45-year cycle. So we're, you know, we're undergoing all this major metamorphosis. But his book talks about what happened in earlier times when these cycles happened. So it's kind of a dishy astrology read. I love it. Okay, so with that noted, and I encourage everybody to get it. It's one of those books you put in the bathroom and you read a chapter, you read a couple pages when you go in because it's very dense. It's kind of academic. Okay, go.
It is kind of academic. But there's one line. I'm still at the very beginning. I mean, I'm on page 9. I mean, because it's so meaty, but it says, such a radical transformation could not happen overnight. For the cultural mind and psyche to support the transformation, the passage of an entire generation was required, including the deaths of the many intellectual authorities who were incapable of escaping the hold of the reigning paradigm. The required change was not just physical, but metaphysical. The entire world needed to be revisioned. In the end, the implications of the great shift, cosmological, religious, moral, epistemological, psychological, existential, were so far-reaching that it could take centuries to work them out or even to become conscious of them. He's talking about the days of Copernicus and so on. So, you know, that whole group who was fighting it out and not to, you know, and realize how they were just so holding. And I'm looking, I actually see a parallel in our government, in our military, about how we're holding on to certain things. We won't let go and say, you know what, maybe there's a different way we can do this. And that's what we're all faced with right now. Yeah, this is a thick book. Some people are asking, is it a thick book? Yes, very thick book. Like Anne said, it's worth a read. It's not a speed read. It's a reference book. I would love to be in his class, have been in his class, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's something that
he's,
really
he's excellent. He's a very academic speaker, too. So when you listen to him, he's a little dry, but it's a great book.
Okay, yes.
What I did with the Gem and Jaw, you're going to like this, because when you guys see the book, it's really thick. I bought it, right, and then I'm like, at that point I was still running the house on Fire Island. I'm like, this is too big to bring out to Fire Island. So I bought a paperback version of it, and I ripped it into sections. So I'd bring
good.
A section of like 100 pages with me to the beach. You know, because I broke it up into little, you know, kind of chunks, and that was it was my summer read that year. Well, I didn't read the whole thing, but So I recommend if you want it portable, buy the book and then rip it into parts because it's a big book. I actually have two. I have the hardcover that's, you know, relatively unscathed, and the other one that has, you know, suntan lotion on it. So.
I would do that when I used to fly a lot to California. Before Kindle, I would take a magazine or certain book and do that same thing, and I would break it in order to carry them with me on the plane, you know? So I would rip out the sections. So I was the only one who did that. Someone says here, I know one of his students. She is an amazing astrologer. Okay, very interesting. Mm-hmm. This is the real deal. I can't imagine writing something like this. I mean, that's an accomplishment. I thank him for it.
It's a beautiful book.
Beautiful book. Mm-hmm. You know, Anne, I have a question for you.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
We had that recent, and it's, you know, personal is about my chart, so it's all about me. But we had that recent, that June 10th eclipse cycle. What does that sort of like perfect or conclude? When does that resolve, or whatever that phrase you use, you know?
Well, what the June 10th one is, let me pull it up. Hang on. So eclipses, depending on if they're lunar or solar, right, they have different timings. So the June 10th eclipse was a solar eclipse. So we look at how long it was in, full motion, and it runs for years. Lunar eclipse runs for months, right? So the solar eclipse that we had on June 10th was 19 degrees Gemini, which, of course, is near you, and it's, you know, it squares my sun in Virgo also at 18. So what it said was, okay, here are your choices where you're going. Now we have time to make them go forward. And when everything and anything gets to 19 or 20, like today, we have the Mercury coming up to square that, right, and we have the Neptune on it. So whenever anything activates that, it brings up the story, and it will run for a number of years after, based on how long totality was. So let me see if it tells me how long totality was.
It was a solar eclipse.
Yeah. The sun went away. Yeah. And so, like, the one that we had in 2017 that went across the country's face, that one was a five-year one. Because the totality was five minutes.
5 minutes, yeah.
So usually, they're anywhere from 3 years to 7 years, you know, basically, and you look at how long was the totality of the eclipse. So the eclipse was, when it was totally dark, was 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes, so it's a 5.5 year. And for the lunar eclipse, we look for the totality of that, and that's how many months. So this is a solar, and I don't know. I can Google. Hang on. Let me see how long totality was for that solar eclipse. Totality of solar eclipse, June 10th, 2021.
What did we do without Google?
Annual solar eclipse. Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah, because however long the totality was, that's the Ring of Fire, and NASA usually puts that on.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, well, and my book has it, but it's over on the other end of the room. So, get up early, sunrise. Totality is. Yeah, it's not telling me.
It wasn't a long one. I don't think it was. Well,
it wasn't a particularly long one, and it wasn't particularly big. So totality, the eclipse path ran.
It doesn't have it here.
I have a book that says how long is it totally dark. The one that we had in America, the one that one across the country. Oh, here it is. Totality is 3 minutes and 32 seconds. So this will be a 3.5 year.
Okay.
That was totality.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all righty. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So
that'll be a 3.5 year eclipse. So we solar eclipses we do years because they take a year to go around, and lunar eclipses we do months. So because they rule the months. So so this eclipse will be 3 years, but the one that was across the country in 17 was 5.5 years, 5.5 months. And eclipses take out leaders of the country, right? And so we saw Donald staring at the eclipse, so he's not our leader anymore. I mean, that one gave me a little optimism when he was standing there with Melania at the White House gazing at the eclipse. I'm like, oh, I guess you don't know about eclipses. It takes out leaders. So he did get unelected, you know. He wasn't reelected, which is hard to do. You know, generally people get reelected. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it runs 5.5 years. So it was August. So that'll be next summer. Yeah.
Yeah,
and of course, it ran right through the country. You know, like really, literally, yeah. We're very divided. You know, it does tend to activate the country that it's in, that it's over for that time. And so this particular eclipse was over Greenland, and mm-hmm. and so we have the earthquake, the Faichiguchi. I'm not sure I'm saying it right. The volcano up there that's really acting up right now,
yes,
The eclipse went over her. Yeah.
Wow, and they even had some rain the other day. Oh, first time they had rain on the there in that particular area. But
yeah.
Talking about Governor Cuomo. I think the eclipse had an impact on him because he's opposite. I think he's opposite. I know he's opposite me on the chart. He's Sagittarius.
Yep.
He's December 6th.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think he got
yep.
that.
Yep.
That eclipse might have
he
taken
got
him
eclipsed.
Out too.
Yeah. Yeah. It did take him out, yes. And the eclipse was at 5, you know, the other eclipse was at 5 Gemini Sag, and that he is a 5-degree Sagittarius sun. So, and he's a sun Saturn. You know, Governor Cuomo is a sun approaching the conjunction to Saturn, which means
mm-hmm.
that if he does anything wrong, he gets nailed. It's sun Saturn people
that.
Always get caught.
Yeah.
It's the chart wants to catch you. So the minute,
okay.
you know, I mean, you know, I was, you know, I don't know, you worked in the corporate world like I did. We were, you know, we're
right.
older models, right?
Yeah.
And I had, like, a lot of sexual harassment and, you know, this stuff that went on. And, you know, it wasn't some old guy saying you want to have sex with an old guy, you know, or my
yeah.
hands are big.
Yeah.
And not to diminish the experience for these women, but I was kind of like, wow. Okay, you know, but at the next breath, then we have the Taliban, you know, like, okay, we're going to kill you if you don't wrap yourself, right? So
yeah.
very
yeah.
interesting, you know, it's very interesting times, you know, him resigning with the Hammer of Thor and then the Hammer of Thor, because that hammer triggered his eclipse and triggered his stuff when he stepped down. The
right.
Venus Hammer of Thor was the releasing of Attorney General Letitia James's report, and then Venus went through, and then Mercury went through this week, and then the Sun is going to go through in a couple weeks. So, you know, hitting that hammer up and bringing things to light. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
the contrast, like he went out for saying, you ever think of having sex with an old guy? You know? And, you know, you can't do that anymore. We had the Jeopardy guy, right? You know, he said, do you take pictures of your boobs? And he's gone. You know, I'm trying to think if I've said mean things on the show.
Me too.
And not
yeah.
that I'm running for a government
yeah.
position, but you know what I mean.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, there's certain, and that's one of the things that, you know, air is, what's the tarot card for air? Swords. So, you know, what we
yes.
say can either be encouraging or can hurt. You know, we have to watch
yep.
our words because they have value, they have frequency, they hit, they land, you know, so, and
they land with a punch,
have,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They land with a punch. There was, I know we got it close, but there's a woman, I was watching the, you know, a woman interview, an Afghani, a woman who is a, you know, a leader of an organization who helps women, and she was saying, no, she said, no, the Taliban is afraid of women. And the way she said,
yes.
they're afraid of, that's something that
yes.
I want to remind us all is that a lot of this change is we have the racial stuff and blah blah blah, everything else going on, and that's all real, but there is something with the world, and I know this country being predominantly women, but we're still
yep.
the ones who are the most subjugated. So that's something that I have to constantly remind that beneath a lot of this stuff is the fact that we are rising, and they sense that we are rising, and that the divine feminine is rising.
Right.
So that's
right.
That's the challenge for most people. So you will see groups like Taliban and.
Well, and I think, you know, when we look at New York, you know, we have the Speaker of the Assembly, who is supposed to be the lieutenant governor for, you know, the new governor. If, like, Cuomo had just quit, she would be the lieutenant governor in place. But she's like, oh, no, I'm staying as the Speaker of the Assembly. She's this very sparkly-eyed woman. And she goes, so what the government of New York really is three people in a room. The governor
yes.
and the Speaker of the House and the Speaker of the Assembly, right?
Yes.
Those three
yes.
guys
yes.
get together.
Mm-hmm.
She said, so
mm-hmm.
now we're going to have a woman, and then we're going to have me, a black woman, and then the
yes.
Republicans have a black guy. know. Oh. So the room is going to be very different looking when we all get together. She said,
yeah.
I know I'm technically in line, but I think she's going to pick somebody else.
Yeah.
And she's
yeah.
like, I want to be in that room. You know, I'm not giving
right.
that up and going to be a lieutenant governor. I'm the head
yeah.
of the assembly.
Yeah.
I'm like into this, you know. So.
She's honoring where she feels.
She
where
said
she
with a little twinkle in her eye. She was very
mm-hmm.
cute. I think she was on Rachel Maddow or one of those shows, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we will be actually responsible. We are, up, you know, as I was talking to my friend, you know, Adrian all the time years ago, but women, we are first chair right now. We have to suit up and show up, and we are,
yep.
to
mm-hmm.
make this change happen. We're the ones that will
right.
actually give birth to this change, giving birth to this
yep.
change. So we're, you know, yeah, it's upon us. So, Ann, before you go,
yes,
next week,
yes.
anything
and
else?
And I, you know, I mean, I know with Barack, yeah, with Barack Obama, when Hillary was running,
yeah.
I thought, oh, man, you know, like, I don't know
yeah.
that I'm going to, you know, we had all the racism with him, but then I thought with Hillary, you know, all these people get crazy about her. We're going to have such misogyny. And then, you know, she didn't
yeah.
win, right? And we still had such misogyny with the old guy. So,
yeah.
you know, it's really interesting because it is a time for us to look and change. To your point about the cosmos and psyche change that Tarnas said, we have to remember
yeah.
20 years girls have been going to school in that culture. 20
yeah.
years they have been being educated. 20 years,
right.
millions of girls have gone to school now, where before they were never
mm-hmm.
educated. And that
mm-hmm.
group of babies, they're now, you know, seeing their world shift, but they're also, the seed's been planted. They didn't
yeah,
have
absolutely.
Cell phones in 2000. Now 70%
mm-hmm.
of the country has cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Yeah, so
yeah.
we got to trust the process, that illumination, once the light gets in, it's in.
Absolutely.
You know?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what's pulled me back from the brink of a lot of the stuff. I said, no, this will, yeah, the more they, it may seem like it's oppressive and repressive and suppressive. Yes, it is, but we will break through. It will break through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a testament to that. You know what I mean? Look at, you know, I know my people are still going through it, but hey, we still make, you know, we made some gains because we
mm-hmm.
took the hoses and the dogs and everything else. We're still taking the shots, but you know,
yep.
We will not be moved. And I think that's
yep.
that's my motto right now. We will not be
mm-hmm.
moved from this change. So,
yeah,
I'm gonna
yep.
face it head on, and you know, and so on. But and anything next week we gotta look forward to, or anything we should be aware of for next week.
I think the full moon is the biggie. That's the big,
okay.
the big high energy where we're feeling. And then this week, Mercury and Mars both trine Uranus in Virgo, so they really activate stuff and kind of kick us into the next chapter. So we have the full moon. We also have the you know, Mars trining Uranus, which is okay, ready, set, go. We have Venus trining Saturn, which is okay, ready, set, go. And we have Mercury trining Pluto, which is okay, ready, set, go. And so we have adjustments and ready, set, go energy, right? And full moons, of course, make us see things. So we'll see stuff we hadn't seen. And Mercury is in Virgo. He goes into Libra next on the 30th. So Mercury is really gathering a lot of information that you may not use right away, but you're learning about it. It's important to pay attention to what you hear and learn about
good
this
point.
Week. Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
And the sun going into Virgo, answering to the Mercury and Mars, but they're all talking to Uranus. They're forming a grand trine in Earth. It's a really productive time for getting stuff done.
Okay, everyone. So someone asked, is that positive? I think it's positive is what we make of it, but I think this sounds like we have some positive energy that's gathering information is always makes my heart. Well, Ann and I are both ruled by Mercury, so we love that.
Yeah,
part, but to
yeah.
know that we'll be gathering information that we may not put into play right away, but we have it. You know, we'll have it, and
mm-hmm.
just to clarify things. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, and next week's show, Anne. Remember, next week I know you can't. I can't do the morning, and you can't do afternoon. What you're saying?
I'm starting back to work. Oh no.
Okay.
Oh, and I work on Saturdays, so I can do Friday morning or Sunday morning.
Okay,
if either of those work for you.
I no, they don't. Thursday, okay. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. So, okay, so we'll skip next week.
Skip next week, okay. Right. We'll leave
and
you all on your own to have fun.
Yeah, and then do the following weekend, which is the holiday weekend. You'll be available that Saturday?
I'm around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Me too.
I'm
okay,
good.
Yeah. Okay, everybody,
good.
So we'll see.
All right.
We have
bye, all.
Show.
Have a great last week of summer.
And, yes, and a happy full moon. And, unless it's summer. And we'll talk to you, not next week, but the week after. All right. I'll send the notice.
All right.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. Take care.
You
too. Big hugs. Bye-bye.